Welcome to the Mom Money to Moment podcast. We're your hosts, Chrissy
and Cindy,
co-founders of Her Health Collective.
We are two moms obsessed with revolutionizing the way moms take care of themselves. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Mama Needs a Moment. We're so glad you've joined us for our second part of this conversation we had with Jennifer Drummond. In part one of our conversation, if you missed it, we highly encourage you to go back and listen to it. We touched on Jen's car accident and how that led her into the work that she's doing now. We also talked to her about the various different programs that she's started. She's an inspirational speaker. She has various different courses that people can sign up for, challenges. And she talked to us about what it means to go from a life of success to a life of significance. It was a great conversation.
A car accident in 2018 left Jen Drummond awestruck and emboldened. Rescue workers couldn't imagine any scenario where she came out of it alive, but she did. That's when she realized you don't get to choose when you leave this life, but you sure can choose how you live it. Strengthened by this awareness, she set out to live in a more authentic and adventurous way. Jen went on to obtain the Guinness World Record and is the first woman to climb the 7-second summits. Today, Jen elevates others to master their own summit in life. She is a successful business owner and mom of 7 remarkable kids who boldly inspire and brazenly challenge her. And I love the story there where your kiddo was actually the one that kind of encouraged you to pursue that record. She is also an international speaker, author, and host of the Seek Your Next Summit podcast, who's focused on inspiring others to go beyond success to a life of significance. Jen, you are the first woman to climb the 7-second summits. For those of you that don't know, the 7-second summits are the second highest points on each continent. But don't let the name fool you. There's nothing secondary about attempting this feat. To most mountaineers, these peaks are much more challenging than the traditional 7 summits. Many have made it their life's work to attempt to accomplish them all, but rarely are they able to do so due to the grueling nature of the pursuit. In fact, each of the 7 summits presents a unique challenge. The same undertaking of high altitude ascents coupled with less infrastructure and far fewer safety nets that are often associated with the higher mountains that routinely see more climbing traffic. How did you approach training for this feat?
Yeah, so training was a bear because I'm a mom first, a business owner second, and an athlete third. So what I would do is I'd build my calendar and then I'd give it to my coach and I'd be like, okay, fit in my workouts. I'd be like, Jen, you're not climbing a molehill. You're climbing Everest. We need more time. I'm like, I don't have more time. Like, this is what I have. And so unlike some of my climbers on my team that could dedicate a whole bunch of time because they were retired or whatever else to climb, I had to fit it in. So sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and I'd do step ups on an angled treadmill at my house. Then I bring kids to school. Then I might get like a small hike in during the day. And then at night, if somebody had a soccer practice or a soccer game, I would have a 12-inch step. I'd bring that step. I'd bring a backpack full of water bottles. And the entire time my kid was playing, I would be doing up and down that step, right? Because that's how I got it in. I could see him play. And it's like, well, instead of sitting and watching this game, I might as well use this time to at least do step ups because that's going to get my body in condition to be able to go. When I would have Zoom meetings that I didn't have to be on camera and I just had to understand what was going on, I got this Firefly's note taker. So then I would go do my Zoom meeting on a treadmill without my camera on and I would listen, but he would take all the notes. So I wasn't worried that I was missing anything. And so that technology helped, right? So you just, when you want something, you make it work.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the story of you at your son's soccer game. I'm just picturing you and thinking of all the other parents and what they must have been thinking. And it didn't matter. You did it anyway. I love that.
Well, here's the thing. It was super embarrassing at first. Okay. Embarrassing for my son, embarrassing for me, whatever. But I'm like, hey, this is what I'm doing. By the end, I had like three or four moms that would bring a step and we'd all do it together.
I love that.
No way.
I was wondering if you were going to start a trend with it. I absolutely love that. That is fantastic. So you kind of touched on some setbacks that you encountered just in the fact that you were a mom and you didn't have a full day to dedicate to training the way a lot of athletes do. So aside from the mom time factor, what setbacks did you encounter? Do you have one story or incident that stands out in your mind? Perhaps a moment where you thought, what the heck am I doing? Why am I doing this? I should just throw in the towel. And what kept you moving forward in that moment?
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, one, whether we're climbing physical mountains or metaphorical ones, if we are not having those moments of why am I doing this? Why am I this crazy? Then you're not pushing yourself, right? Like it's my philosophy. So one, you have to expect them. So if you expect them, then it's easier like, oh, I knew this was going to come up. I'm going to be able to handle this. And then you have to be really connected to your why. I know we hear this all the time, but for me, I carried a photo with my kids on the climb. And when it got hard or overwhelming or whatever, I'd pull out that photo and I'd look at it and be like, they're watching. Like I'm demonstrating to them like what we do when we get in these situations. And we're going to go. I mean, we're going to do it scared. We're going to do it cold. We're going to do it whatever, because that's what we do. And so for me, I would check in with them and just energetically, and then I would continue doing what I was doing. The nice thing about climbing mountains, which I think is a good lesson for all of us in our day-to-day lives, is that we do these acclimatization rotations, right? We go to a point of failure and then we come back to base camp. Our body changes so we can go higher up the mountain. It's called acclimatizing. So if you're on your personal pursuit and you hit a roadblock, come home to base camp, come home to the boardroom, evaluate what's working, what's not. What do I know now that I can go up the mountain higher that I didn't know before? Doesn't mean stop. It just means you're climatizing. We do not go from point A to point B without a little shuffle.
I love the parallels you draw from climbing and how to apply it to the business world and real life. And it is that there are so many analogies that are so applicable. So I know I would love to know, and I'm sure all the listeners would love to know, how does it feel to hold a Guinness World Record? Yeah. Do you like have it up on a frame? Is it by your bed? Like, do you get something? Is there like a thing?
You can get something. I haven't like done all that stuff yet.
Okay.
Here's what, like when you get to the top of the mountain, like my last one, I was sad actually, believe it or not, because I was like, wow, this thing's going to be done. Right? Like I've spent 2.5 years trying to make this all come together and wow. Like it's going to be done. So there's a little bit of sadness, but you stand at the top of that mountain and you take in this like deep breath, right? As big of a breath as you can take in. And when you take that in, almost everything disappears. There's no time. There's no distance. There's no space. Like I'm the sun, I'm the mountain, I'm everything. I'm in that moment of awe. And you're in that. And then you exhale. And with each exhale, you kind of come back to reality of like, okay, there's the sun, the mountain's beneath me. I'm standing here. It's cold. We're going to have to head down the mountain. And right before you leave, it's almost like you take your soul out of your body and you throw it out into the world and you say, I can't wait to find you next. Because it's truly in the journey that we become who we are. Like I was on Everest for 10 minutes on that summit. I trained 1,232 hours to be on the summit for 10 minutes. Most of my memories are the memories between starting and the top. They're not the top, right? And we have to remember, like, we're here to experience life.
Yeah, it really is in the journey. That's absolutely beautiful. I wonder how your kids responded. Do they like go around in class saying, my mom is a world record holder, or are they embarrassed? Like, how do they feel about it?
So we got very lucky when I went to climb Everest. Like, of course, my biggest fear isn't climbing the mountain. My biggest fear is like, oh my God, like, are my kids going to be okay? I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks, right? Or whatever it is. And so I went to the kids' school. And I told the teachers like, hey, I'm going to be gone. Grandma and everybody's taking care of everybody, but you know, it's different. So can you offer my children a little bit of grace? And the teacher came back and she's like, hey, why don't you come in and teach the kids about setting an Everest goal? And then we can have this be a part of what we're doing. So I went into the school. We talked about setting an Everest goal. They all had colored little hikers. They had flags that they put what their Everest goal was, which was like make the travel soccer team, ski a Black Diamond ski run, you know, like all the things that you would have. And then in the front of the school, we put this huge mountain up that was Everest. And we had a little climber that was me. And I had a tracking device. So they could move me up and down the mountain based on where I was. And at Everest Base Camp, you have Wi-Fi. So I could do a call into the classrooms and answer questions like, where do you poop and what do you eat? No, anything that a kid cares about. And so I did that, which then meant like when I summited, the whole community summited, right? Like all of us were in it together, which was a huge win. And then it was also, everybody was kind of along for the journey that entire time. Right. So everybody knew. And I'm like the mom that climbed Everest, and kids will come over and they'll be like, I want to climb Everest someday. I'm like, I'll teach you. You're good. You just let me know. We're ready. And then the funny thing is so I come home from my last climb. I'm on the airplane for like hours. Right. So I get off the plane. My kids meet me at the airport and my son's like, congrats, mom. I'm like, thanks, honey. And he goes, your breath stinks. You know, like that's life, right? Like you did this heroic thing and you're still human. It doesn't matter.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I get that all the time with my kids too. Mom, you need a shower. Mom, that looks awful together. Mom, you know, they're so, just so truthful. How old are your kids?
17 to 10.
Okay. Question that has been on my mind. Were you athletic before you started this whole
journey? Yeah, okay. I was. So that's a huge advantage. So it's funny too, because you look back, right? So I did gymnastics as a young child, which gave me a lot of body awareness that people don't necessarily have. I played soccer in college. So then I had that fast twitch and the slow twitch, you know, you did the sprinting and bursting and then long distance. So that gave both those muscle patterns the like wherewithal. And then I got into triathlon briefly. So I had that piece. So when I got into mountaineering, like kind of looking back, you had pretty good sports background. If you would have been a rock climber or a mountaineer, it would have been better. But I mean, it's not like I came from nothing.
Mm, okay. And then you got the original bug to climb from where?
Yeah. You know, like 2019 was that year of the bucket list, right? Like, who am I? Gotcha. What do I want to do? All this kind of stuff. So I have like pages of bucket list things because I was just allowing myself to think like, if I was to die in the next year, what are all the things I'd love to do if I could do all of it? And so on that list was climb a mountain because I live in Park City. So I'd climbed the Grand Teton once before in Jackson Hole and it was a great experience. And so in 2020, I was turning 40. When I looked at my list of all the things on my bucket list, climb a mountain stood out. I'm like, you know what? It's only going to be harder the older I get. What a great way to launch my next decade of life. I'm going to climb a mountain. So that's kind of how that piece started.
I like asking these questions because it puts things into perspective. Because I have to admit, Jen, you are amazing. And it's challenging not to look at you and compare my inside world and my struggles that I'm with every single day to your outside world. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain this a little bit more. What I mean is that I only know you from our brief interaction right now and what I've seen of you on social media and on your webpage and whatever you share with the world, but I don't know all of your challenges and the internal dialogue that you have with yourself and what happens in your private life. And yet, it's hard to prevent this comparison, but this is exactly what we do mm-hmm. on social media. Every day we get on and we compare ourselves to these little outside world snapshots of people.
Yep.
We have complete insight into our own worlds and it's not a fair comparison because we're comparing our internal struggles to what we're seeing with everyone's external portrayals of things.
You're seeing everybody's highlight reel.
Yes, exactly. Have you battled this? I really want to hear your perspective. Have you battled this and how do you personally work through it?
Yeah. I mean, we all have struggle, right? I mean, that's part of being human. When I started climbing, you have no idea the backlash that I got. Like, how could you be a good mom and leave your kids to go climb these deadly mountains? And how irresponsible are you? And I can't believe you're pursuing this. This is embarrassing. And like, you get it everywhere, right? Like everybody was coming against me. And I sat there and I'm like, you know what? Like I've turned around on two mountains because they didn't feel safe. because my kid, I told my kids I'd come home. It is hard to turn around on a mountain when you're a day or 2 days from the summit and you've spent all the money and time and energy to be there. But I knew my limit and I knew like that was not going to be okay. Right. I missed a Christmas in these climbs. And I remember like I was like, Christmas is my favorite holiday. It's my family's favorite holiday. You can only imagine when you have this many humans opening presents, how magical it is. And so Antarctica, the climbing season's December, January. They only issue one permit a year. So I've been like, I'm begging this company that issues the permit. Like you, there's only been one female on the mountain. There's been 14 males. There needs to be another female. Like I'm playing every card I can. I'm like, the only thing is I have to leave after Christmas. I'll leave the day after Christmas, but I have to leave after Christmas. Finally, I like find out that I got the permit, which is amazing. And they said, okay, you have to leave December 18. You'll be back January 9. Like, I can't go. I'm sorry. Like, I promised my kids I'd be here for Christmas. And my kids have been very invested in this journey the entire time. So I actually decided, you know what? Like, that's not even, I'm going to talk to my kids and just let them know. So I pulled together a family meeting and said, hey, listen, mom got the permit. I'm not going to go. I'm going to wait because I'd miss Christmas.
This episode of Mama Needs a Moment is sponsored by Camp Gladiator. Camp Gladiator is a health and fitness platform for all ages and fitness levels. They provide workouts that are designed and trained by certified personal trainers, whether that is through their outdoor fitness platform, live online workouts, or through their on-demand library. They also have certified nutrition coaches and registered dietitians who offer nutrition coaching.
I love working out with Camp Gladiator and have been for almost a year now. I think one of the things I love most is the positive environment and community that not only works out together, but also becomes a family outside of camp while supporting and giving back to the community. CG members can participate in an unlimited number of workouts each month, and the super fun outdoor workouts include dumbbells along with other fitness toys, which are my favorite, the balls, the bands, the ropes, the fire hoses, so much fun. And the virtual workouts use dumbbells and other things that can be easily found around your home.
Camp Gladiator members have a primary trainer that will keep you motivated, accountable, and will be there to do all they can to help you get the most out of your fitness journey.
CG is also great for moms. I can't remember how many camps I've been to where I've seen moms with their children in tow, whether in a carrier, a stroller. Plus, you'll see older children working out alongside their parent, which is always awesome to see. Sometimes they even use their children as an extra weight or just to bring them into the movements because they want to.
They have an amazing number of workouts that are offered all throughout the day. You can catch outdoor and live online workouts from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m. And the on-demand ones are available 24 hours a day. Anyone can join Camp Gladiator for a full week of free workouts. Get your free week using the link in the show notes.
And my third oldest son goes, Mom, you've always told us Christmas is a feeling, not a day. Why does it matter what day we celebrate Christmas? Then my younger kids, who are like wise, does that mean we get two Christmases? Right? Like they're like, I have friends that get two Christmases. Do I get two Christmases now? Right? Like, and so we kind of sat and talked about it. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? We can do Christmas before I go. You guys can do Christmas again while I'm gone. And we'll just do everything like a little bit earlier this season instead of whatever. And that's because we decided as a family, that's what worked for us. So when other people were hating and throwing things at us, whatever else like that, it's like, yeah, from your perspective, I get it. But you don't have the bond or the relationship or the family unit that I have. And we made this decision together and we're okay with it. So I think like any time that we're comparing ourselves to others or looking at others' highlight reels and we're comparing our whole version of ourselves instead of the pie that we see, like it's just a reminder, like that's their cocktail of experiences and stories and things that work for them. That's their headline. We don't get that headline. We have to make our own headline. And our headline's different because we have two kids that are these ages that have these struggles or have this story or have whatever. And so you get to show up in a different superhuman way that works for your superhuman story.
How do you help people? And I'm going to use a metaphor here to go along with your climbing theme. How do you help people climb their own mountains and set their sights on the perfect summit for them rather than seeking an arbitrary image of what accomplishments look like? I mean, you've seen it both sides. You've been in the business world.
Yep.
What do you say? How do you help people?
I just really help people shut out the world, right? That's the first thing that we need to do. So, I mean, a lot of times when I'm working with individuals, we'll go for hikes or we'll go for like a day where we unplug from everything in multiple days if they have the flexibility to be able to do that, so that they're picking something that's them, not society or not family pressures or not different things like that. And it takes us a minute to unplug from that to even remember what is ours. I think that's one of our biggest struggles in the beginning. And then once we have that, what is ours, then we have to be very careful with who we share it with. My mom was not my first call that I'm going to go climb Everest. That'd be an H-E double hockey stick. No, right? Like absolutely not. And so for me, it was like, I'm going to call a coach that's climbed Everest. I call this coach. He's like, yeah, you totally can be fine. Blah, 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 blah. Here's a couple of people in your area that have climbed Everest before. Let me introduce you to them. So then I introduced myself to those people. I went out to lunch with them. I did a whole bunch of research and a whole bunch of things so that all of a sudden now it felt like normal to climb Everest, because before it wasn't normal, right? Like I didn't know anybody. Everything seemed so far away. All of a sudden you go to lunch with somebody and they're like, they spilled on their face and they're like, okay, they're just human like I am. If they can climb Everest, so can I, right? And then you go to your parents or then you go to the people that are going to be a little more protective of who you were as a person versus becoming who you are. And you have more confidence and you have more, like, it just, you talk about it different, right? Like my talk about Everest is a different than like, hey, I think I'm going to climb Everest. Hey, I met some coaches. We got this plan. I met some people. I've done some hikes. I'm going to do Everest. Here's why, blah, 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 blah. And then they have permission to get on board.
So when you have your clients, you encourage them, if they have an idea or if they have a goal that they want to reach, to surround themselves with people who have been successful doing that already.
Yeah. Just because that gives you the way, right? That gives you the path. Like that's why it's so, like when we climbed Mount Tyree, I think we were 15 to 20, like the 15th to 20th person ever in the history of ever to climb this mountain. It was fascinating, that climb versus Mount Everest. Okay. So that climb, we're looking at notes from a few years before because nobody had climbed it in the last few years. Like a rock's missing. Is it under the snow? Did it roll down the mountain? Are we going the wrong way? Like you just don't have all that knowledge, right? So everything feels a little more loose. You go to Everest, they have teams designated to manage different parts of that mountain. I didn't have to make any decisions on weather, any decisions on where we were going, any decisions except get my clothes on and start walking, because it's been so supported. It's been done so many times. They have it so figured out. It's dialed in. So when you like look at your ideas like that, you've got these baby ones that don't have any structure that you're really trying to figure out every corner, or you have one that's like, hey, I can plug and play. When you find mentors that have been down the path or have had the experience, you get the advantage of using that plug and play.
That's wonderful. Thank you. I'm just sitting here and my pause is because I'm like, oh, I have this goal. I need to find people that support this goal. And yeah, I'm just thinking my way through it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think what I love in what you just shared, Jen, is recognizing these people that have done this big thing that you so want to do, that they're human too. We often see these people in these roles and we put them on a pedestal or we're in such awe of them. There is so much power in recognizing that this is just a human, just like me. They get spaghetti on their shirt too, or, you know, whatever the case may be. We're all in this together. We're all in this world together. We're all striving for different things, but we're all striving for something. And it's really powerful to know that there's a human element there that we're all really
human element there. I mean, I had never slept in a tent before when I signed up to do this thing, right? Like, I'm like, okay, well, I guess you have to be a beginner at some point. I mean, I think back to my first podcast, friends, my first podcast was a nightmare. Okay. You look online, right? And you're like, oh, all you do is convert a closet into a podcast room. So I buy like those foam pads from Amazon, which is a thing in and of itself to get those to foam up and pop out and whatever. And then I glued them on the wall. And so now I'm in this black hole, in my closet. I put the lights on. The lights start heating up the glue. So it starts curing. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get high on this room because of the glue in here. And I'm like, I don't even know. You're trying to manage the conversation and the time and all the pieces. I mean, it was a train wreck. But then guess what? Like 25 in, 50 in, 100 in, it's a whole different ballgame. You can't compare your day one to someone's day 100.
I feel this deeply, especially your first podcast example.
Yes, ours was interesting.
Thank you so much for so many amazing insights and for just sharing your incredible experience. I think not everybody will go through the experience that you did. Not everybody will have a near-death experience that they've managed to live through. But you are taking that and you are sharing the lessons you've learned in a way that people can apply it to their day-to-day life. And that is beautiful and so powerful. So thank you for being willing to do that and for sharing that piece of who you are.
I'd love for you to share where they can get your book. It's coming out in January, right?
Yes. So go to jendrummond.com and you'll have access to the book or social media handles or whatever. So you can reach out, say hi, connect. I love cheering people on or hearing what mountains they're taking on in life. You can also find the book on amazon.com.
Beautiful. And we'll make sure to put all of that into the show notes as well as your website so that they can go and take a look at some of the courses that you have, the workshops, and you do speaking engagements and they can do that with you as well. So that's wonderful.
Please, my favorite. Yeah. So thank you.
Oh, you love speaking. Oh, that's good. I can tell you're very good at it. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
So I'm really curious to know from this second conversation with Jen, what your takeaway was.
Yeah, so many. I think this was a really, really powerful second half of a conversation. I love when she said, if you are not thinking, what am I doing? Then you are not pushing yourself hard enough. And I think that that is so stinking powerful because we reach a point where we get into a state of complacency and we get comfortable and we don't want to push ourselves. And I think it's so important to remind yourself periodically, okay, I need to be a little uncomfortable. So if you don't have a point where you're thinking, what the heck am I doing? This is scary. I don't know if I want to do this. Then you're probably kind of stuck in that rut of being comfortable and you need to push yourself a little bit. I also really loved, I might say the word wrong. I think it was acclimatizing where she talks.
Acclimatizing, wasn't it?
Acclimatizing. Okay. Because whatever it was in my head, whatever she said was the opposite of what in my head I thought it should be. Right, so, yeah. So she talks about going to this point of failure and then you come back down to base camp. And then you go up a little bit higher. And I loved how she shifted that and applied that to real life. You know, there's something you're trying to do and you can't get to the top or you can't reach your goal in one shot. There are going to be failures. There are going to be step backs. There are going to be moments where you need to step back and regroup. And I think that that was a beautiful analogy just to life, to every part of life, to parenting, to business, to your job and career, to family, relationships, all of it. I think it was very applicable. And then I love the bucket list. I don't think that was anything novel necessarily. We've all heard to make a bucket list, but I love that she actually pulled something from it and did something huge and incredible with it. You know, if you have 1 year left to live, what are all the things in the world you would want to do? Nothing is holding you back. What goes on that list? And there was something that really stuck out to her and she went for it. And finally, my other favorite takeaway was when she talked about seeking out coaches and people that had climbed Mount Everest before. And she sat down and she had a conversation with them and she realized that they are human too. And I think about this a lot with our experts even. You know, how often do we put doctors and people who have had all this education and we put them up on a pedestal and we become not fearful in their presence, but we're kind of awestruck, right? And I think that there is a lot of power in recognizing that we are all just human. We are all on this journey together. And there's so much power in recognizing that I don't know whether it's there's nothing special about them or that you're special too, but they're both true. Like it's all true, right. You know? I think that that's really, really powerful. How about you?
Yes. A lot of what you said, I had written down as well, because they were very touching when she said them. Some of the things to add to what you said is she had remarked on how the journey is where you learn to have the special moments. It's not only reaching the top. And I think she used it as her Everest experience, where she said it took them weeks to do the climb. And then she was at the top for 10 minutes, but there were so many wonderful experiences and fun things that happened along the way. And she was using that as a way to explain life circumstances as well. That stuck out to me. And then exactly what you had said, surround yourself with people who have done it before you go to seek support from people you know might not understand it. And she had talked about her mom, and it made just so much sense, right? Because the people you love, you automatically want to go to them because you're excited about this idea, but their initial response is always going to be out of protection and love for you. And so it might not be the response you're looking for. So by going and seeking people who have done it, you can build more confidence to then take it to the people who you love.
So, yeah. And the people who you love, I mean, they could be responding to you and operating from a place of comfort. Like what I was just talking about in the beginning, that sort of comfortable place where we don't want to change the status quo and we feel safe here. We don't want things to change. And I mean, it's not anything against them, but they are comfortable with their relationship and how you are in that relationship and who you are as a person. And they might not be comfortable with the idea of you changing in some way or shifting that status quo. So
great point.
Definitely a great episode. And for our amazing Patreon subscribers, who we appreciate so very much, we have one final question that we asked Jen, and her response is available to you over on Patreon now. Make sure you head over there to listen. We talk about her mission on helping people focus on living a life of significance, and the fact that many moms that we talk to on a daily basis are just trying to make through the day. And we wanted to know what she would say to the moms who are struggling through the day-to-day of life. And she had some pretty powerful words to share. So make sure you head over there and give it a listen. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, what are you waiting for?
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.
High five, friend. We've enjoyed hanging out with you. Follow us so you're the first to know when we drop a new episode.
If you've enjoyed your time with us, let us know by leaving a review. We always love hearing from you. Until next time, stay true to you.